If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 26 is a passage very rare. You might say, why is it rare? Because it's one of the few times where someone did something for Jesus. We're always asking him to do something for us. People are always coming up to him. Blind Bartimaeus, Lord, can you fix my eyesight? I mean, just one after another. Peter's mother-in-law, could you do something about my mom-in-law? She's sick. You just go down the list of people and you'll find that people are clamoring to meet Jesus. He's walking through a village and 10 lepers come near him. Hey, Jesus, can you help us? It's like always they were coming to Christ. Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? He had the ability to heal people. He had the ability to encourage people. If you can remember, they went out on a boat. He was resting in the boat and a storm came up. Jesus, wake up. Can you do something about this? We're about ready to perish. And peace, be still. And they were just astounded. I was wondering sometimes why Jesus Christ might not just say, can anybody do something for me? Well, there's a little word used in this passage. In the original text, it's namasis, and it literally is to exercise your memory about some event, either some great event or some sacrificial event. And we see the word here in this passage, a memorial for her. The base of that word goes back to a word called meno. In the original text, means to remain. So the idea of a memorial is something, an event that's to remain in your mind. So you can exercise your mind to go back to that event, go back to that event. If you have your Bible, turn to Esther in the Old Testament. Esther chapter 9, verse 28. Chapter 9, verse 28. Notice, if you would, Esther 9. Esther 9, verse 28. This is right after, if you remember the story, Haman, a wicked man, hated the Jews because Mordecai would not bow down to him. Mordecai could not bow down to him because it was against the Jews' teaching to worship anything else or anyone else other than Jehovah. And so they could not bow down to a false idol. They could not bow down to a king. They couldn't bow down. And so it cost them many of their lives over the centuries. Well, this one man, Haman, said, I'm going to destroy all the Jews in this kingdom. And it was a worldwide kingdom. He said, I'm going to destroy them all. And so he paid the king money. And the Lord worked it out where it got reversed and the Israelites were able to defend themselves on the very day they were supposed to be wiped out. And God gave them a great victory and they had prayed about it for all month long. By the time period, all the horsemen were going out and giving out the word, kill all the Jews on such and such a date, kill all the Jews on such and such a date. And you can, as an incentive, you can take all of their possessions. And so it was a tremendous day of victory whenever it got flipped. And the king said, now all the Jews can fight and anybody who wants to help them can fight to defeat the people that were wanting to kill them. And so it was a great day of victory and it's called the Feast of Purim. And so you'll notice in Nahum, if you would, in verse number 27, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, that these days of Purim should not fail among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. And today, Jewish synagogues still celebrate the Feast of Purim. So the idea is something that happened thousands of years ago were great for my family and my generations, and I don't want to forget it. The Lord Jesus knows we're forgetful people. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have forgotten your anniversary? Don't raise your hand. Don't smile either. How many of you have forgotten your wife's birthday? Don't raise your hand. Or your husband's birthday. We forget things. We have done, how many of you, you remember the old Blackberries that people would write notes down in? Man, that's generations ago, it seems like. And so you make notes you're trying to remember things. And so now they make it where, I have something on my phone. I still haven't figured out what it is yet. Cortana. I don't know who that is or where she lives or whatever. But every morning she will send me a note and say, hey, by the way. And it'll be two or three things that I'm supposed to remember. And I begin to think about all the things that we're supposed to remember. The Lord Jesus instituted something called the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And he says, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember the Lord's day. Lord, what he did for you. Remember his sacrifice. Remember what he did for you. You know why he did that? The Lord's Supper? So you and I would not forget the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And the Bible says, as often as you eat this bread. He didn't even tell us, do it once a week. Do it once a month. He said, do it as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. So it's a memorial. It's something to remember me by. It's the same root word as memorial. So he gives us the Lord's Supper as a memorial, as a remembrance of things that are important in our lives. I want you to see, just real quickly, as I go through this passage, there are two spiritual things that are in Scripture that we're to remember from this passage. And I want to give you two others that as Americans we ought to remember, as people. Number one, February 26th, 1945. 70,000 U.S. Marines invaded the island of Iwo Jima, a little island that's 2 miles long, 4 miles wide. It had 18,000 Japanese soldiers embedded in it, dug into the volcanic rock. The reason it was so important, it was 660 miles from Tokyo. It was where their fighter jets would fly off and defend Tokyo and attack the American troops and shoot down their bombers. And that little island, that little bitty small piece of real estate became the central place where we've got to get that island for ourselves. We have to stop them and take the island. We've got to do it. It had one airstrip, a long airstrip on it, and there were fighter jets taking off all the time, coming back, refueling, taking off. It was a strategic place. 70,000 U.S. Marines hit that beach February 26th. Of the 18,000 soldiers, the Japanese army on that island, everyone was killed except 216 men they captured. Prisoners. Can you imagine? 17,784 slain, almost 100%. 27,000 Americans, almost a third, either injured or killed to take that one little island. But from that island, 2,200 American bombers began to take off. Turned the tide. And there was a picture, an iconic picture taken. How many have ever been to the Iwo Jima Memorial, where five soldiers are pushing up an American flag, and there was a cameraman there and happened to take a picture on top of Mount Suribachi? It was a tremendous moment. Early in the battle when they took that mountain, the highest part on the island. Did you know that three of those five men were killed in the next 30 days? So when you go by the Iwo Jima Memorial, remember, the men that pushed that flag up, 60% of them died. Remember that the 70,000 that went, almost more than a third, came home injured or didn't come home. All for a 2x4 piece of real estate that the American general said we have to have at any cost. So we have a memorial in Washington, D.C. And when you drive by it, remember, wow, 60, 70 years ago, 80 years ago almost, wow, those men made a great sacrifice. You know, it's easy to forget. One of our political leaders wrote a note this week, a little tweet. Enjoy the long weekend. They got blasted. Why? They just didn't mention the why. It's a long weekend. Do you understand how easy it is to get caught up in us? It's easy to get caught up in, well, what are we going to grill out on Monday? I hope it's a pretty day so we can get together. We can go for a walk. We can go for a hike. We can go do something as a family. We can get in the car and drive around up on the mountainside. We can go up to Skyline Drive and we can enjoy ourselves. But that would not happen if it weren't for 70,000 Marines that stormed that little island. So when you drive by that memorial, exercise your mind. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Jews, exercise your mind on these 2 days. Feast of Purim, victory. Remember the great victory we received from the Lord that day. Don't forget that God gave us a great victory. Don't forget we're His people. Memorialize it. Folks, it's easy to forget the sacrifice of our soldiers, both men and women. When I, from time to time, go down to a funeral at Arlington Cemetery, and I'll never forget one that I did early in the morning. And they have them all day long. You have to be of a certain rank to be able to have the horse-drawn carriage that carries the casket and the 16-gun salute. But yet, this one morning, the fog was kind of rising up. It was an early fall day. And the fog was up, and you could just see the crosses sort of glimmering through the fog. And we finished with the funeral, and the wife was sitting there, and the casket had this flag draped on it. And the two soldiers at each end grabbed that flag and began to fold it as they do. So, artistically fold it up and go over and lay it in her lap. And they tell her something. They tell everybody the same thing. Thank you for your sacrifice. So every one of those crosses, thousands of them, sacrifice. Do we remember and say, Lord, thank you for their sacrifice? Then all of a sudden, a trumpeter starts trumpeting, taps. You can hear it echo all over that sound. Somebody paid the ultimate sacrifice. don't forget, Memorial Day is not just a three-day weekend. We can't forget. It's why at every ball game, it so angers me in my spirit when we get up and everybody's laughing and cutting up whenever they're playing the national anthem. And I'm sorry, I can't help myself. Whenever people try to take that time and make another statement about something else, it's like that's a sacred time for the men and women that have sacrificed everything, that we honor our nation. And when you play that song, the Star Spangled Banner, whenever you play that song and the ramparts red, I mean, it just does something to my heart. And when I see people just kind of joking and cutting up and laughing, and without 70,000 Marines hitting that beach, we may not be here this morning. Exercise your memory tomorrow. Somebody paid for me to have this grill out. Somebody else paid for me to have the privilege of get up this morning and breathing free air. It wasn't free. It was blood bought. Don't you forget to memorialize what that day is. It's not like Labor Day. It's Memorial Day. Don't forget. It's easy to forget. Teach your children. The Feast of Purim is still going on thousands of years later. And it's only been less than 100 years. And we still don't take Memorial Day. And we forget that so quickly and so easily. Don't forget. I'm preaching to myself for the mirror right there. Pastor Pittman, don't you forget. You wouldn't have the privilege of preaching the gospel in freedom were it not for men like those 70,000, of which 10% didn't make it home. Do we remember that sacrifice? I think every one of us tomorrow, before we take lunch, ought to pause for a minute and say, Lord, thank you for those men and women that are willing to give their lives for us to have the freedom to do this today. Don't forget. You'll notice, I think there's a second thing we should remember, and that is that family have sacrificed for us. You know, parents, how many of you are parents in here this morning? Your parents, let me see your hand. We're supposed to sacrifice. It's a part of the word parent. But all of us got parents, or you wouldn't be here. But do we remember their sacrifice? Do we take the time to say thank you? Both my parents are in heaven. But my mother, when I was going to school, she was so proud. Just like every parent is. When their children go take the next step and go to college. I went 1,000 miles away my mom would write me a note. How many of you remember payphones? How many of you remember payphones? How many of you don't remember payphones? Raise your hand. Let me see them. Raise them up. Let me see them. Okay. We got a job to require those kids to remember, memorialize a payphone, okay? How many of you would go down to the end of the hall? There was one payphone in the dorm. You go down there and wait in line. How many of you remember that? You go down, you wait in line. Come on, God, tell her you love her. Hurry, get off the phone, man. And you know, you're trying to get to the phone. And then get up to the phone. And then all of a sudden now it's my time and you call. And I can remember it cost a lot of money. But call my mom. Mom, I'm doing good. How are you doing? I'm doing great. One summer I went home. My pastor came up to me. My mom worked at the church. She took care of the finances. When I say finance, she was the bookkeeper. She balanced all the budgets. And there were seven of them. They had seven different funds. And so she had balanced all the budgets. And she was meticulous at that. And so I remember going up to my mom and say, "Mom, it's great to be home." And didn't think a thing about it. A little entitled, a little spoiled. "Mom, what are we going to have for dinner?" And my mom says, "I fixed your favorite." And boy, I was all excited. And my pastor came up first week I was back. And I said, "Paul, it's great. I had a great year." And he said, "You know, Dave," he said, "I just want you to know this. You know, your mom didn't send you much money this year, but she sent you a little bit of money along. Remember that?" "Oh, yeah, Pastor, I remember that." He said, "Did you know how she got the money?" I said, "Well, no." He said, "She went without meat for a year to send you a little extra money. $5 here, $5 there, so you could take Susan to the snack shop." I said, And I came home and said, "What's for dinner?" Young people, you better remember, parents, and make a sacrifice. Food is not free. You don't think about it when you go in there and jump on that nice soft bed and pull those covers up. There was a sacrifice made to pay for that. You better memorialize it. Exercise your mind to say a couple things, to do a couple things. Number one, always to say thank you. Memorialize, "Dad, thank you. Mom, thank you." How many of you have gone to those gumball machines and you put in a quarter and it puts a little plastic thing, it's got a little toy inside it? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Do they still have those? I don't even know if they still have them. Oh, they do, Zach? Okay, good. You know, can you tell me where one is? Dollar store. Okay, he's got it. He's got it all figured out. You know, those little things. Well, you know, they don't have machines put those together. I went home in between one of my years, junior, senior, I don't remember which it was, sophomore, and my mom had laid out the toy, little plastic cups, all of them laid all out in a bag. And she did that at night after her second job. Mom, how do I say thank you? Parents sacrifice willingly. But a memorial is when you remember and say, thank you. Every one of us in this room could do that. You could pick up the phone and say, "Mom, thank you. Dad, thank you." You know, my dad left. He wasn't around when I went to school. I watched him drive off, never come home again. But I regret this. I preached his funeral. But I'm thinking about this message. I was saved at 14. But I've told you 1,000 times, I was in church, sitting back there about where Brother Shenouda is in our church. But I never really took the time to say, "Dad, thank you for being in church and having me with you when I was 14. Or I might not be saved." You know, my dad left and did a lot of things wrong, but did a lot of things right. Do you memorialize some things your parents did for you and say, "Thank you"? Do you do a few things for them to encourage them? Or are you always expecting? I was a little entitled. How do you be entitled? I lived in government housing. How do you get entitled living in government housing? You just forget. Everybody in this room can be entitled and probably are in some ways. The goal is back up, sit down, And the Lord Jesus gives us this little story and said, I want you to remember some things. I don't want you to forget. I want it to be a memorial. And he gives us the Lord's Supper so you don't forget what my son paid for your soul. So you can remember what the military did for us. You can remember what family's done for you. You can remember what Jesus did for you. You know how easy it is to forget? I mean, it wasn't just a little something that Jesus did. He gives up heaven to come to this earth for 30-something years so that he and I, so that he can be my Savior. But he's born in a manger. Ever been in a manger? We have some horses down the street, and from time to time I get a chance to go to that horse barn, and as it's being cleaned out, I'm reminded Jesus lived, was born there for me. I don't tell him thank you near enough. It's Memorial Day weekend. Surely we can take a few minutes and sit down and say, thank you, Lord, for those men and women that sacrificed. Hey, Mom, I just want to tell you, thank you. Hey, Dad, maybe you and he are not on the greatest of terms, or you're with your mom. But you know what? Thank yous are always acceptable. No one ever says, don't call me and tell me thank you. But if we're not careful, we will not exercise our minds to remember. I don't know about you, but exercise is not really fun. I mean, if you go to the gym, if you played ball and the coach would come in and say, okay, exercise, and you're trying to get that last bar up. And how many of you remember that? Your bar gets right there and all of a sudden your arms just start doing that. How many of you remember that? Anybody remember that? How many of you have never done something like that? Never done anything like that? You've never done a push-up where you just couldn't do another one. I mean, you're done, you're trying to push up and your arms start vibrating. The Lord Jesus said, I know that's work, but could you remember that I paid a great price for you because I loved you? I want you to notice in this passage, look if you would in verse 13, Matthew 26, 13. Notice the words. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world. So the Lord Jesus wants the gospel to be preached everywhere. The fact that Jesus was born in that manger, lived the perfect life that you and I cannot live. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Lord Jesus paid our way to heaven with his own blood. Can you imagine him hanging on the cross? And you remember when he said, I could have called 84,000 angels, 12 legions, but I did not. You want to know why? One reason. He loves you. There's nobody in this room that you can say, well, he didn't love me. He loved Sam. He loved Rick. Even Brandon. Even me. There's nobody here that you can't say, Jesus loved me, and those scars are because of me. You know what we'll do? We'll get busy in church. Let our minds wander about a million things. The turkey in the oven, the meatloaf in the oven, a job tomorrow, what I got to do. And Jesus said, hey, remember, I loved you and I gave everything for you. I topped the angels, said, no, I got to pay Dave Prittman's price. So, how many times do you think I ought to say thank you for that? Daily? Weekly? Now, you do two or three things. I want to just remind you. Number one, you say thank you. Number two, you live like it meant something to you. It's one thing to say, hey, Mom, thank you for your sacrifice. Send me to college and see you later. I got to go. You live like it meant something to you. So it's one thing to say, hey, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I'm glad I got saved and I got baptized and I got my new life. And so I got my own plans. The Lord Jesus wants you to say thank you. He wants you to live like it meant something. Now, I want you to notice this little story ends with something most people forget. Verse 13, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, what is the greatest, most important message in all the world? The gospel. We spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in this church for missions. And I urge you to give to missions. And we travel around the world and build buildings for our missionaries and send them money to build buildings and to buy buildings. Matter of fact, at the annual business meeting, we're going to vote to recommend to send some money to one of our missionaries in a closed country that they have the opportunity of a lifetime. We're going to send a lot of money to help them plant another church, Lord willing, if everybody agrees. And the idea is that, wow, we can make an eternal difference because the gospel is going to be preached there where people would not have another church to go through for 500 miles. He said, everywhere the gospel is preached. Now that's important. That's the cross. That's what Jesus did. But there's this little woman named Mary. They're at Simon's house and they're eating. And she's trying to think of something that she can do to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'll live for you. Lord, I want to do something for you. And I would ask that you would, as you memorize, memorialize, what can you do to say thank you? How can you change your life to never forget? And what can you do for them? Mary, the Lord Jesus said, read it, watch this, that there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. What in the world did Mary do that was so important that God said, the gospel, what Mary did. The gospel, what Mary did. The gospel, what Mary did. And you know what? We tell the gospel, but we don't always tell what Mary did. Why? She did something for him, not him doing something for her. He was so struck, not just that she did something for him. I think all of us should purpose in our heart, I'm going to do something for the Lord this week that I have never done before. I'm just going to do something for him because I owe him and I love him. I remember. But he said, I want you to memorialize Mary. There's no place else in Scripture with that kind of magnitude. What did she do? She went and found her greatest gift, the thing that meant the most to her. It was her life savings. Maybe it was her, how many of you have heard of a hope chest? How many of you know what a hope chest is? Raise it up, let me see it. What's a hope chest? Brenda? You put things of value in there when you get married. In other words, you don't want to give that away. You're giving up your future. You know what Jesus said? Every place you go, I want you to tell what Mary did. She was willing to take her future, break it, and pour it on me. That kind of sacrifice, tell the whole world. Make a memory of that. Make a memorial of that. Today, what is your greatest treasure? Have you given it to the Lord? Well, I only have one son. I only have one daughter. Have you given them to the Lord? Well, I've only got one wife. Have you given her to the Lord? I've only got one husband. Have you given him to the Lord? Well, Lord, I've only got one job. Have you given it to the Lord? Is there anything that you're holding back in your back pocket? What Mary did, she gave up her hopes and laid them on Jesus. And he said, I'll never forget that. 1971, there was a lieutenant colonel named Joe Jackson. He's in Vietnam. He was a pilot. He'd flown 107 missions all over the world. And there was an air base that had been overrun by 5,000 Viet Cong. And there were three elite military soldiers got left. One plane went back for him, a C-123, a big plane. He went and started flying around to see, and he caught them. He found them, said, yeah, they're there. I see them. But it was too dangerous to go down. He flew back to base. Those men were here. Could somebody come get us? They said it's a suicide mission. So Jackson said, I'll go. Got in his C-123. Flew around. Figured out where they were. They're at the front of the runway. So he's got to go in under enemy fire, drop 9,000 feet in a moment and hit the runway and stop them, get in, turn around, get back up in a short runway for safety. Impossible mission. But if you're one of those three men, can somebody try? Joe Jackson said, I'll go. I've done it 107 times. What's 108? Gets in a C-123, flies over, comes right near the airfield, and all of a sudden drops like a rock. 9,000 feet and hits the runway and stops almost exactly where the men are hidden in a ditch. They jump up. They start running under enemy fire. He's flying in. Bombs going around him, aircraft, defense. They're shooting bullets at him. He drives down, turns that plane around, and all of a sudden he sees a rocket coming at him. And it lands on the runway and stops right before his nose and doesn't go off. He circles around the dud rocket, guns it, and takes it up in the air. He makes it back to base. What do you think those men would say to him? Joe, how do we say thank you? Joe was memorialized with a Congressional Medal of Honor for doing something nobody else would. So was Mary. She's memorialized. Wherever the gospel goes, tell everybody she did something nobody else did. Would you be willing to? On Iwo Jima, there were 27 men that won the Congressional Medal of Honor out of 70,000. How many Christians will win the same medal Mary won? I give all to you. Today, what are you remembering? I got a good job. Got a good education. Will you remember the people that helped you get there? The men that died on Iwo Jima? The parents that helped pay your way? Fed you while you couldn't eat yourself? Buy your own food? The Lord Jesus paid the debt you cannot pay? And Mary that gives us an example. He's worth everything. Let's bow our heads for the prayer. Maybe you're here today. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Would you come? Would you come? Would you step out of your seat and come to the front and let me help you get the Bible and take you so you know you're on your way to heaven before you leave here today? No one's farther than 50 feet from heaven today. If you're sitting on the back row, you're not more than 50 feet from heaven. Would you come this morning? And maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I have forgotten. I haven't said thank you like I ought to my parents, to the Lord, to you, Lord. And I haven't sacrificed like I should have. Maybe you haven't told your mate how much you love them, how much you appreciate their sacrifice for you. Do you realize every marriage, your mate gave up all the other men in the world to marry you? And your husband gave up all the women in the world to marry you. Have we ever taken the time to just, I want to thank you for marrying me, for loving me, for sacrificing for me? But most of all, what have you done for Jesus to let him know that you love him? Lord Jesus, would you speak to hearts this morning? Lord, those that need to come and be baptized, help them to come. Those that like to come and join our church, would you help them to come this morning? First note, I pray that you'd help us to do your will. Lord, there are people that need to come this morning and just get on their knees and say, Lord, I want to thank you for your great sacrifice. Maybe it's been a little while. Maybe you want to pray for someone else that's not here for the Lord to bless them because they were good to you. Lord Jesus, help people to do your will this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.